Morning. Today's Daf and Erevin Kuf. We are in Sadi Testament Beis. We're starting in the Mishnah, right in the middle of the Amud. Parak dedicated to the Malacha of Hotza'ah. Tosas already pointed out where this parak belongs back in Masechta Shabbat, but there are a couple of references here in the Mishnayos regarding issues of Erevin, and so therefore here it is in the 10th parak of Erevin. The Mishnah begins, Bor b'rishus ha-rabim v'chol yaso gavo yutfachim. So let's say we have a pit in a Rishus HaRabim with a mound around it that is 10 tefachim high, chalon she'al gabav, so you have a window right over this pit. So that means to say that the house is right next to an area where there's a pit, and a window is perched right over the pit. Obviously the window is opened up into a Rishus HaYachid. So memalin heimenu b'shabbos, one is allowed to fill water from the pit into the house. It's going from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid. Ashba b'rishus ha-rabim, gavo yutfachim, and if I have a heap of garbage that is in the rishus ha-rabim, but it is 10 tefachim high, and I'll also add an area 4x4 tefachim, chalon sh'al gabav shofchin l'socha mayim b'shabbos. So if I have a window that rests on top of it, not meaning on top of it, but overlooks it, so then you can transfer and pour water, sewage water, from that window into the garbage pile. Well, once again, you're going from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid. The Gemara starts off the discussion by Ma'iskinan. A little clarity over here. Ilema b'smucha. Are we talking about where the pit is proximate to the house? So lama lichul yayud. I don't understand. Why does the mound have to be, why does the ridge of the mound have to be 10 tefachim high? That doesn't seem to make any sense. If the pit itself is already 10 tefachim deep, so you already have Rishus HaYachid. Am Ravuna hacha b'Ma'iskinan b'muflagas menakosel arba'a. So, no, the pit is actually more than 4 tefachim away. And that means to say that right now the ridge is really helping you. Because what the ridge is doing is it's extending the Rishus HaYachid into the direction of the Chalon. You see, without that mound, so now what you have is the house being Rishus HaYachid, the pit being Rishus HaYachid, but it is being separated now by more than 4 tefachim, which is a significant area of Rishus HaRabim, and that obviously creates a problem. So that's going to be one approach in terms of how to understand the Mishnah. That's why the ridge of the mound becomes so significant. Rav Yochanan Amar Afilo Tema Smucha. Now, you can understand the Mishnah is talking about where the pit is right up against the wall of the house. Hakamashman, Debor V'chuyasim and Starfin La'asara. And what the Mishnah is actually coming to teach us is that not that the pit is 10 tefachim and the ridge is also 10 tefachim, but rather what we're learning again in this parak is the idea of tziruf. That what we could do is that we could take different materials, compound them together in order to get to the requisite shear of 10 tefachim. An idea which the Gemara already entertained earlier in this parak, but the Gemara over here emphasizes in this Mishnah, as understood by Rav Yochanan. Ashba b'rishus ha-rabim v'chulei. We go to the second case of the Mishnah. I have a garbage pile that is 10 tefachim high and an area 4x4. So it is now deemed a rishus ha-yachid v'lo chayshin ha-shema tinatel ashba. So the Gemara says, but I don't understand, because aren't we worried about the garbage being depleted? Meaning the garbage is not something which is static. The garbage is always in a state of flux. Sometimes garbage is added, sometimes garbage is removed. And so it is being that the garbage pile is in a state of flux. So right now, as it's currently constructed, it is 10 tefachim high and 4x4, but this is something which is going to be in constant fluctuation. So, and why shouldn't we be worried about that? The Gemara says, and I'll tell you, in another circumstance, we are worried. Remember the incident with the Mavui? We discussed this much earlier in the Masechta. One side of it was the bank of a river. Another side of it was an actual wall of garbage. The matter came in front of Rebbe, lo iser v'lo heter. And Rebbe came out non-conclusive on this case. Heto lo amar bo, dechashin shemati tinatel, ashba v'yala yam sirton. Now, as far as issuing a heter, saying that both the bank of the river and the garbage pile are halachically valid walls, well, Rebbe didn't want to say that it was valid, because there could be problems with both. In terms of the bank of the river right now, it is a wall. But if you have enough sediment residue that builds up over there, you're going to lose the wall. Additionally, in the case of the, on the other side, the garbage pile, so it may get depleted, and it may no longer have the requisite shear of a wall. So Izalo Amar Bodai Kaimin Mechitzos. On the other hand, to say that it's Aser, as it's currently constructed, it's Mutter. So Rebbe didn't know. So he didn't issue a ruling. But you see clearly over here, by him not issuing a ruling, so obviously he's worried about the depletion of the garbage pile. So Lokasha Had Yachid Ad Rabim. So the Gemara says it depends about whether or not we're talking about a private garbage dump or a public garbage dump. Rashi's understanding over here is that when it comes to a public garbage dump, so there should be no concern, right? The Mishnah is Ba'ashba Derabim. The Mishnah is dealing with where it's public, and because it's public, so it's not going to get manipulated. It's not going to get depleted. However, private, so that's going to get added. That's going to get depleted from. Okay, certainly I can hear an argument the other direction, but present to the Gemara like Rashi. We're in the Mishnah on the bottom of Tzadi Tesamud Beis. Ilan Shayamesech Ala Aretz. So you have a tree with very long branches hanging down. Basically, the tree creates a natural canopy. But not just a canopy, but the tree's branches actually are coming down to the ground. So now, it's more than just a canopy. It's actually an entirely enclosed area. So, im ein nofo gavo min aris shel tefachim, as long as the branches now are descending to their wither within 3 tefachim of the ground, mitaltalin tachtav. So you're allowed to carry underneath the tree. The tree now has created a natural rishus yachid. So as long as you're within the tree and within the branches of the tree, so you can carry within the entire area. Sharash of gavo min aris gamal tefachim lo yeshiv aleihem. If a root of a tree, this is a separate point of the Mishnah, if a root of a tree is above 3 tefachim of the ground, so you can't make usage of that root. If the root was within 3 tefachim of the ground, so that's aris mechta, that's just simply considered ground with a slight elevation, so that's fine. Meaning even though there's an iser derabbanan to be mishtamish be'ilam, we talked about this back in Masechta Shabbos, we are going to discuss this in Masechta Beitza. And here we are now somewhere in the middle, at the end of Erevin, where we're discussing it again. The iser derabbanan too, make any kind of usage of a tree. The Chachamim were concerned about the idea that we're gonna take a branch off of the tree, and so therefore Isser Derabanan. So over here, if the root is within 3 tefachim of the ground, we qualify it as a ground, and therefore is not subject to the Gzera Derabanan. Once it's above 3 tefachim of the ground, now it's a tree, subject to the Gzera Derabanan. Good. The Gemara starts off the discussion. Amar Vuna Bereder of Yeshua Metaltan Bo Yoser Mibes Asayim. So we're going to now talk about our canopy tree, in which when the branches of the tree come down within 3 tefachim, so you're allowed to carry within the entire area underneath the branches. So the Gemara over here throws in a qualifier, and that is that yes, you're allowed to carry, but only up to a base of sayim, 5,000 square amas, no more than 5,000 square amas. And basically what we seem to be looking at over here is the idea of a karpuff. In other words, it's a non-enclosed area. But Rashi, the truth of the matter is, Rashi adds to the Chiddush of the Mishnah. You can see Rashi over here. Rashi writes, bottom line of Rashi, afilu natu mitchila lekachta avimukaf ledira. Let's say the tree was planted for residential purposes. Still, there's going to be a cap in terms of how much we can carry underneath the tree. Rashi says, even under those circumstances, you're going to be capped. Now, my time. Now, with that Rashi in mind, so it needs an explanation. Why should that be? So Mishum, as we now turn to the top of Kuf Amud Aleph, Mishum David Dir Shetash Mishel Lavir V'Chol Dir Shetash Mishel Lavir Ein Metaltan by Yosem Mibeis Asayim, because these walls are not really intent for the interior, but actually the walls are for the exterior. Rashi describes it as basically what is being made use for is that people are going to go into that area, but only to see the field outside of that area. So it is not really designed for interior usage. It does create an enclosure. There is an interior, but its main function, its main purpose is to see outside from that area. And so therefore, this is not a dira shetash mishel la'avir. It's not, these walls are not designed for the interior, and therefore, it's going to be capped at a beis asayim. Okay, it's similar to the idea of karpuf and non-residential, but it's not exactly the same. In fact, you go back to that Rashi that we quote in the bottom of the previous Amud, it's clear from Rashi that even if I try to design it and designate it as a residential area, it's still going to be capped up to 5,000 square amas. Sharash of Gavon Min Aretz. Gemara now has an extensive discussion regarding the roots, Itmar. The Gemara's discussion starts off with the following. Let's remind each other. The Mishnah gave a clear delineation in terms of any root that's within 3 tefachim of the ground, that's ground. Any root that's above three tefachim of the ground, so that has the status of a tree, subject to the gzera derabanan of being mishamish be'ilan. The Gemara's discussion now revolves around the following: shar she'ilan habay milamala mishlosha lesoch shlosha. So let's say you have a root that takes a couple of turns. It goes and elevates above three tefachim, but then comes back down within three tefachim. Can I make usage of the portion of the root that is now within three tefachim? So Rabba Amar Mutar Lishamish Behem, Rav Sheshes Amar Asar Lishamish Behem, Machlokas Amarayim between Rabba and Rav Sheshes, Rabba is a Mekel, Rav Sheshes is a Machmer. The Gemara explains. Rabba Amar Mutar Lishamish Behem, Dechol Pachus Megimel Da'ara, Arahi. So Rabba says, look, I understand that if you go back earlier in the root, there is an elevation of greater than three tefachim, but right now, at this point of the root, it's within three tefachim, that's it. And you don't have to look at the source of where this root came from. So as far as Rav Sheshes is concerned, no, you have to look. The fact of the matter is that a little bit earlier in the root, it went above three tefachim. So the extension of this root, even though now it dips to below three tefachim, but its source is coming from a root which is Asur. And so therefore you have to look at its source. Since the source is Asur, so therefore the extension also is going to be Asur as well. So is the position of Rav Sheshes. And the Gemara does a little bit of discussion over here. Before we get to a little bit of discussion, other examples of this idea of something that's coming from Isser is going to maintain its status of being Asur, even though you could look at it a different way. So the Gemara gives three examples. And in all three of the examples, obviously, it's going to bear out the difference between Rabba and Rav Sheshes. Example number one. Didamu kimishunisa desilkin leila asurin dinitan letasai sharu. So here we have an example, and if you have a picture and you're looking at a picture, it would be very helpful. Here in my standard Gemara, there is an attempted picture over here on the side and in the inside margin. Admittedly, it's a little bit of a struggle to see the picture and to understand what the Gemara is trying to get at. So, but it is obviously it's a valiant attempt. But obviously, if you're looking at a somewhat more modern, updated picture. Sefer associated with Erevin, I'm sure it's going to do a much better job. Anyway, the basic idea is as follows, is that the tree is on top of a mound, or the way Rashi describes it, it's like a rock. And what we basically now have are roots jutting out, not from the base, but jutting out somewhere on the cleft of the rock, or on the cleft of this mound. So under those circumstances, if I have any root that is above three tefachim, obviously subject to the gzeirah derabanan, measuring from the ground. So any root that's above three tefachim, subject to the gzera of mishamish b'ilan, no debate. Any root that's within three tefachim of the ground, not subject to the gzera derabanan, once again, there's no debate. But if I have a root that juts out above three tefachim of the ground, but then dips back down, proximate to the ground within three tefachim, you have the debate between Rabba and Rav Sheshes. Okay? I explained it pretty basically, but if you have a picture, it really helps out. The Chena Nigra, the Gemara says, and I'll give you another example, and that's going to be where the tree is growing right next to a ditch. And you have roots coming out from the side of the ditch. Measuring from the ground, it's within three tefachim of the ground. Measuring from the bottom of the ditch, so it's going to be above three tefachim from the bottom of the ditch. Once again, this was going to bear out a difference between Rabba and Rav Sheshes. Rabba would tell you that it's fine, because you just look at it from the perspective of the ground, and Rav Sheshes says no. The Chena Bekeren Zavis. Let's say we have a tree that is planted into the corner of two walls that come in perpendicular, and the tree actually makes up the corner of that perpendicular. Good. So once again, if you have a picture, it's really helpful. So if I'm looking at it from the perspective of the ground, so the roots that are coming out from basically on top of the wall obviously is well above three tefachim. On the other hand, if I'm looking at it from the perspective of the wall, how can I look at it from the perspective of the wall? Because the tree is really embedded in the wall. So therefore, what Rav is going to tell you is, it allows me to look at it from the perspective of the wall. And if I look at it from the perspective of the wall, so then it's going to be mutter. Okay, so that is another example that's going to bear out the difference between Rav and Rav Sheshes. Ha'udikla da'avila abaye. The Gemara is going to give us an actual case study. There was a tree that Abaye had. Va'avisalik bi'ipuma. And this tree grew in the center of the house. It was like a gazebo. Lekame de Rav Yosef Visharele. Case came in front of Rav Yosef, wanted to know from the rooftop now where this tree actually gets to the rooftop, and from the perspective of the rooftop, the tree is running flat with the rooftop, within three tefachim of the rooftop. And the question was, usage of the tree from the perspective of the rooftop. And Rav Yosef said, it's fine. So I'm Rav Acha Bar Tachlifa D'Sharolach K'Rabba Sharolach. So that's so interesting. So your heter over here, is that going like Rabba? So not a question. Right, wrong inflection. Right, it's going like Rabba. So that means to say good. So you're passing like Rabba, meaning that you're looking at it now from the perspective that allows leniency. Over here, you're allowed to look at it from the perspective of the rooftop. Meaning what Rav Sheshitz will tell you is that look, the tree obviously is in the ground, and you must look at it from an extension from the ground. Obviously, anything from the ground above three tefachim is aser. Rav Sheshitz will tell you that the treetop, even though from the perspective of the roof, is going to be proximate to the roof, but it is coming, it's being novea, it's drawing from something which is aser. And as long as it's an extension of iser, it too is going to be aser. That's Rav Sheshitz, but Rava would be mekel. And Rav Yosef being mekel, so that's consistent with the Shita Rava. And so Pshita, the Gemara says, okay, very good. Meaning the conclusion is correct, and the truth of the matter is that once you have good understanding of the machlokes between Rav Sheshitz and Rabba, so it is an obvious conclusion, meaning obviously Rav Yosef holds like Rabba, what else would you consider? So the Gemara says, no, ma'u detei ma'afil Rav Sheshitz basic command amal yadame, v'lishamish bepachos mikimah samach legag, kamash malan. Here's an argument we could have made. I could have said that Rav Yosef really holds like Rav Sheshitz. But over here, what I could also argue is that the house is totally filled up. It's an idea that we've expressed already a number of times earlier in our Masechta, and that the airspace of the house, because it's totally enclosed, not only on four sides, but also has a roof over the top. So therefore, halachically, we could look at the house as if it's filled in. Not so long ago, we did a case similar to that regarding Tumas Mace. Anyway, so that is an argument that you could make. And so therefore, even Rav Sheshitz, who normally says that anything that's growing from Isser is going to be Usser, but I could perhaps, it's a Havamina, I could perhaps view the house as if it's totally filled in, and so therefore the portion that juts out from the roof now is considered really the beginnings of the tree. And so therefore it's not coming from Isser, but really now this is going to be point zero in terms of the tree, and therefore even Rav Sheshitz will tell you that it's Mutter. This is all an argument you could have made, but the Gemara says that's exactly what the Gemara wants to teach us, that no, that according to Rav Sheshitz, the tree starts in the ground level, so therefore it is deemed a tree from the ground level. It is therefore also from the ground up, three tefachim from the ground up, and therefore the portion that goes and hits the roof and matches the roof, that too is going to be also according to the Shita Rav Sheshitz. Tanan, we turn to our Mishnah. Sharosh of Gvo Mina Arat Gimel Tefachim Lo Yishev Aleihem. When I have a root that's about three tefachim, I'm not allowed to stand on it. That's our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is really straightforward. The Gemara says our Mishnah is so straightforward, the Mishnah's got to be teaching us something, right? So, hechidami idolo hadre kipi pshita. Are we just talking about a root that's about three tefachim? Like, isn't that obvious? So, alalav, afagav, the hadre kipa. So, it must be that the Mishnah is teaching us a chiddush. What's the chiddush? That it dipped back down within three tefachim of the ground. And the Mishnah is teaching us that not only is the portion of the root that's above three tefachim going to be aser, but even the portion that dips back down is also going to be aser, meaning our Mishnah is supporting the Shita of Rav Sheshitz. The Gemara says, lo olam de lo hadra kipi. The Gemara says, no, you don't have to say that. Our Mishnah is straightforward. It's just talking about a root that's above three tefachim from the ground. V'ha kamash malan afagav detziro echa shevel aretz. But I'll tell you the chiddush in the Mishnah, and that is that the root right now is resting on uneven ground. I know in Florida we don't know from such a thing. But the root is resting on uneven ground. On one side of the root, actually, it's within three tefachim of the ground. On the other side of the root, it's clearly above the ground by three tefachim. So what we don't get to do over here is that we can't limit ourselves to looking at the root only from one side. We have to look at the root from both sides. And if on one side of the root, it's above the ground, three tefachim, so therefore it is subject to the gzerah of being mishtamish be'ilan. Tanu Rabbanan. Right in the middle of Kufa Madal of Sharshi Ilan. Shegvoim min ha'aretz gemel tefachim. If I have the roots of the tree that is higher than the ground, three tefachim, osheish chalal tachtem gimel tefachim, or let's say dug underneath the root. So now from the ground to the root, it's more than three tefachim. Afapi shetzido echad shavala aretz harizel lo yishev aleihem. And even if one of the sides of the root is proximate to the ground, meaning it's uneven ground, like we just described, but here it's a brisa, and the brisa says it clearly. So lo yishev aleihem, so you're not allowed to sit on this root. Lifishin olim be'ilan, you're not allowed to climb a tree. Ein nidlan be'ilan, you're not allowed to hang items on a tree. V'lo nishanan be'ilan, you're not allowed to lean on a tree. V'lo yala be'ilan, mi ba'od yodin v'yeshev sham kol hayom kulo. And you're not allowed to climb the tree even on Friday afternoon. Sitting on the tree for the entirety of Shabbos. Right? You got a treehouse up there. You want to spend Shabbos up in the treehouse. And I'm not climbing up on Shabbos, I'm climbing up before Shabbos. No, that's also subject to the Gzeira Durabanan of being Mishamish Be'ilan. The Isser is not just limited to climbing in the tree, it's making any usage of the tree. Just being on the tree is subject to the Gzeira Durabanan. Echad Ilan ve'echad Kol HaBehema. The extension of this Gzeira Durabanan is not just limited to trees, but animals as well, right? As per the Gemara in Beitza, but the Gemara over here in Erevin says it very clearly that being Mishamish Be'ilan is also part of this Gzeira. So avabur siach ma'ara v'geder, but when it comes to a pit or any kind of well or cistern or a fence, so metafis va'ola metafis v'yore, there you can climb down, climb up, that's fine. Afilo hein mea ama, even 100 amas, that would be no problem whatsoever. Okay, adkan, that takes us now to the end of the brisa. The brisa basically fortifies what we just learned together, that if I have a root that borders on uneven ground, one side's within three tefachim and the other side it's higher than three tefachim, I have to look at both sides. And if on one side it's higher than three tefachim, it's subject to the gzera of being mishamish be'ilan. Tini chada im ala moto leireid, v'tini chada aser leireid. Okay. And now, for a good part of the remainder of our daf today, certainly the remainder of the Amud Aleph, so we're going to discuss the following. A stira between two brises. One brisa says that if I climb a tree on Shabbos, I am allowed to come down. The first brisa says, mutar leireid. And the second brisa says, no, you climb a tree on Shabbos, aser leireid, you're not allowed to come down. Now, obviously over here, the brises are in total disagreement with one another. Is there a way to make agreement between those two brises? The Gemara is going to give three attempts. Lo kasha kami bo, yom kami shechashecha. Depends when you climb the tree. Did you climb the tree Friday afternoon? Versus did you climb the tree on Shabbos itself? Climbing the tree Friday afternoon, so that's the brisa that says mutar leireid, more laxity is given being that you didn't violate an isser to get to the top of the tree. Climbing the tree on Shabbos itself, you violate an isser, so therefore you're not given the ability, the opportunity to climb back down again. That's one approach. Or maybe both in both circumstances, you climb the tree after Shabbos started. Why did you climb the tree? Did you forget it was Shabbos, or did you know it was Shabbos? If you forgot it was Shabbos, allowance to come back down again. If you can't climb the tree knowing it was Shabbos, so then you can't climb down again. I'll comment like I normally do. Right? The ruling over here is a little bit curious, because for the person who willfully violated Shabbos, now he's ready to listen to a Gzera de Rabbanan about not climbing down the tree again. Okay, but like we generally say, and while sitting on the top of the tree, so he had an epiphany. He had a change of heart. He wanted to be compliant with halacha. Okay. Ibai Sema, a third possible distinction. Hava habishogeg. The Mishnayos over here, the two brisos are talking about where he climbed the tree bishogeg. And over here, the issue could just simply be, is that, look, we certainly would make an argument that he should be able to come down. In fact, one brisa says, not only are we going to make that argument, that in fact is the rule, because he was not malintent in climbing up the tree, so allow him to come down again. On the other hand, the other brisa will tell you, no, that if we allow him to come down this time, so then we're worried that the next time he'll climb up bemezid and make usage of that same heter. Okay, Amar Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yeshua Kitanai. What the Gemara now is going to try to propose is that, given that we just gave three different ways to be miyashev, what the Gemara now is going to suggest is that really over here what we have is a machlokas, and the machlokas is really going to be in line parallel with another machlokas. Okay, we go back to our days of kachim, and let's just get a quick refresher. When it comes to karbanos, so the key of a karban is the zrikas adam. After having shechted and received the blood in a kli, so then you're going to be molech, you're going to walk the blood over to the mizbech and sprinkle on the mizbech, in the corners of the mizbech. Well, how many times are you going to sprinkle? Depends on the karban. Some karbanos are going to be sprinkled once, some karbanos are going to be sprinkled on the two opposing corners, and some karbanos, like a karban chatos, are going to be sprinkled on all four corners. And depending on the karban, that's the number of times it's going to get sprinkled, right? If you want refresher, fifth parak of Zvachim, it's included in the karbanos that we say before Pesukah de Zimra. So anyway, so the Mishnah over here discusses a classic scenario, comes up a couple times in Shas, and here we are now. Ha'ani tanim b'matana achas, nesav b'minitam matana achas. Bloods get mixed together. Okay, the Kohanim got a little careless, and allowed for the blood of one carbon to get mixed with the blood of another carbon. But it happens to be that the two bloods are both sharing that they only require one zrika on the Mizbeach. So, yinatnu b'matana achas. So their solution actually pretty straightforward, and that is give it a sprinkle one time on the Mizbeach, with the assumption is that there will be even distribution of the blood, and both will hit the walls on the Mizbeach, and each carbon is going to get a check. Good. Matan dal ben matan dalad, yinatu ben matan dalad. So here, if I got the blood of a carbon that requires four corners, which presumably is that we're talking about a carbon chatas, Rashi writes we're talking about a carbon chatas, although, Tosus points out over here, it's a little bit of a struggle to say that we're talking about a carbon chatas, because one of the basic differences of a carbon chatas versus all other carbonos is that the carbon chatas is sprinkled on the top of the Mizbeach, the top half of the Mizbeach. All other carbonos are on the bottom half of the Mizbeach. Okay, so that is, it's a problem. You can see Tosus for a little more discussion right here on our daf on this issue. For the sake of simplicity, and it is Rashi, I'll just simply say it's a carbon chatas. The blood of a carbon chatas gets mixed in with the blood of another carbon chatas, and so now each one of them require the four corners. Once again, matan arba. Yinasnu b'matan dalet. So once again, the solution over here is simple, and that is you're gonna hit all four corners with this mixture of blood. We are assuming an even distribution of the bloods together, so that each carbon is going to be receiving an application on each of the corners. Good. That's easy as well. Now, matan arba b'matan achas, but now we get to the excitement. And that is that I have blood that required sprinkling on four corners getting mixed with blood that's required sprinkling on only one corner. So what do you do? So here we have diametrically opposed views in terms of what will be the solution. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, yinasnu b'matan dalid, Rabbi Yoshua Omer, yinasnu b'matan achas. So here, debate between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Elazar says, take the mixture, hit all four corners with the mixture. Rabbi Yoshua says, no, take said mixture and hit only one corner with the mixture. The Gemara says, we need clarification over here. Amala Rabbi Eliezer, harehu over abal tigra. So Rabbi Eliezer says, you got to be kidding, right? You don't do all four corners, you're going to be in violation of abal tigra. The Torah demands that the chatas have to hit all four corners. And you're only going to do one corner? So that is doing less than what the Torah instructed. So that is a violation of the Isser of Baal Tigra. Amala Rabbi Yeshua, you can easily forecast what Rabbi Yeshua is going to counter. Amala Rabbi Yeshua, Rei over Beval Tosif. What are you talking about? The blood of the carbon that only requires one corner, and now you're going to go around three other corners and sprinkle that blood in three other corners? That's a violation of Baal Tosif. Amar Rabbi Eliezer lo Amar Ela B'Kishua Batzmo. So Rabbi Eliezer says, yeah, that's true, but that's only if the blood is by itself. Right now the blood is with another blood. You have a tarovis over here, a mixture. In this circumstance, you're not going to be violating Baal Tosif. Now, why should that be? Why by tarovis are you not going to be in violation of Baal Tosif? So presumably, and this is an idea which we actually expressed a couple days ago in the daf, and some of the Rishonim say this. There are a couple ways to say it over. But presumably it's because that once it's in a tarovis, and once one of the bloods demand that I go around and sprinkle all four corners, so then with the other blood, I'm not intent on violating additional sprinkles. Meaning the only reason why I'm going around sprinkling the others is because of the dam chatas. The dam shlamim that's mixed in with it, the one that only requires one zrika, well, that's only going around only because I'm intent for the other one. And you only violate Baal Tosif when I'm intent on adding to the Torah. Over here, I'm doing so, but without Kavana. Okay, that's one way to say it over. There are other ways to say it over. But anyway, Amala Rabbi Yoshua lo namar Baal Tigra ela Kishua ba'atzmo. And Rabbi Yoshua says, and I'll say the same thing. Baal Tigra is only going to be a violation when the carbon chatas is by itself. But once it's in a tarovis, one is not going to be violating Baal Tigra. The Odam Rabbi Yoshua kishenatata avarta abal tosif ve'asita ma'isa bi'adecha. And Rabbi Yoshua says, and here, let me really hammer my point, which is, consider that over here, when you are going around and hitting all four corners, so you're violating Baal Tosif, and you're doing so actively. Kishalona sata avata Baal Tigra velosita ma'isa bi'adecha. However, what I'm proposing is only hit one corner. Oh, you're going to be violating Baal Tigra, but not actively. And there's got to be a difference between actively violating an Avera versus passively violating an Avera. And so therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says, sorry, Rabbi Yoshua says, that's why I really believe that my way is a preferred way. Meaning, I'll first argue that it's not even going to be a violation of Baal Tigra, but even if you're going to give me that's a violation of Baal Tigra, still, I can make a distinction between actively violating Avera versus passively violating Avera. Now, here's where we get to the tricky part of the daf. It's really tricky. And that is now that we presented this machlok between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yoshua, Le Rabbi Lazar damar hasam kumase adif hachanami yarad. So what the Gemara now is going to try to translate this machlokus into our discussion about climbing down from the tree. According to Rebbe Lazar, who is an advocate of going around the Mizbeach, hitting all four corners of the Mizbeach, that means to say that the Kum Asay is going to reign supreme despite the fact that there may be some Avera involved. So over here, Yored, come down from the tree. Yes, it's true you're going to be actively violating, but that's better. Okay. Now, right, spend a moment just thinking about the connection over here. It's really difficult. And the Gemara is going to point out the difficulty, but just even the proposal of the Gemara is difficult. And Rabbi Yoshua Damar Hasam Sheva Al Tase Adif Hachaname Lo Yered. And for the Shita of Rabbi Yoshua that says, no, only sprinkle one corner and that's it. And don't actively violate the Avera. So over here, I'll say the same thing for the guy who climbed up the tree. Don't actively violate an Avera now. Don't come down from the tree. That is the Gemara's attempt to explain the differentiation between the two brisas, is that it's running along the machlokas of Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara says, I'm not so sure. Dilma lohi, ad kan lo kama Rabbi Eliezer asam kumasi adif, ela dekavid mitzvah, in the case of the damim that got mixed together. So Rabbi Eliezer is an advocate of going around the mizbeach, hitting all four corners. You're doing a mitzvah. That's not like the case of the tree. In the case of the tree, you're coming down from the tree. You're not doing a mitzvah from coming down from the tree. The only thing you're doing is violating the Isser Derabanan of being Mishamish B'ilan. So no, don't come down from the tree. As opposed to over here, the action of hitting all four corners, in doing that action, you are doing a mitzvah for the dam that requires Dalakranos. Avahacha de lo avi mitzvah. Hachanami lo yered. But over here, not doing a mitzvah, don't come down. And we can also argue in the other direction. As far as Rav Yeshua is concerned, Hasam Sheva Al Tase Adif. So over here, he's going to be an advocate of Sheva Al Tase. Inactivity. Inactivity produces what? You get successful Zrika for the Matan Echad and for the Matan Dalid. So it's true that you have missed three corners. I should have pointed out some time ago that Bidyevit for Karmel Chatas. You sprinkle one, it will be sufficient Bidyevit. So you missed the three. But Sheva Al Tase is adif. But inactivity now is going to prevent you from violating the Isser of Baal Tosef. Ela, deloka avid Isura. Avahacha deka avid Isura hachanami de'ered. But over here, you're in a tree right now. The Isser will continue anyway if you stay up in the tree. So maybe over here, the inactivity is not going to remove the Isser. The inactivity is going to perpetuate the Isser. So the Gemara says they're really not comparable. So as valiant as an attempt as it was in the Gemara to take the machlokas of Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yeshua, of the Tarovis of Matan Echad and Matan Dalid, and what to do in terms of go around four corners or go around one corner, and the Gemara's attempt to create a parallel between that machlokas and the two brises about whether you should or should not come down from the tree, the Gemara notes the obvious differences between them, and so therefore no parallels created. We're on the very top of Kuf Amud Beis, two lines down, Tani Chada. We have a Braisa. We're still staying on the topic of being Mishtamish B'ilan. The new subtopic over here is a bone dry tree, and whether or not that is subject to the Isra Durabana being Mishtamish B'ilan. Tani Chada, one Braisa teaches us, Echad Ilan Lachve, Echad Ilan Yavesh. Right, whether it's a moist tree or a dry tree, you're not allowed to climb it, subject to the gzera derabanan. Tanya idach and another brisa, ba'medvar mamor belachav abiyavish mutter, making a distinction between a wet tree and a dry tree, a moist tree, I should say, and a dry tree. So I'm Rav Yehuda Kasha Kambishe, gizo machlif Kambishe, ein gizo machlif. So the Gemara says, I think what we can suggest is in terms of creating yishuv between these two brisas, making a distinction between whether or not the tree regenerates or does not regenerate. So the Gemara says, what? Gizo machlev yavish karislei? So the Gemara says, no, that's really hard to imagine. Meaning in the first brisa, we're saying that that it regenerates, and you're saying that under those circumstances you can't climb that tree? Yeah, but one of the cases over there is where it's talking about a dry tree. If it's a dry tree, so you want to call that a regenerating tree? So the Gemara says that's very difficult. So elo kasha kambi amosa chama kambi amosa kshamim. So the Gemara says it depends whether they're talking about the winter or we're talking about the summer. The amosa chama in the summer months where there's no fruit on the tree and presumably also there are no branches on the tree, so therefore one is allowed to climb it, assuming that it is a dry tree. The Gemara is going to in a moment clarify. Obviously, how is there still not a concern of ripping down a branch or plucking down a fruit? So in a moment, the Gemara is going to clarify. But in the summertime, where there are all dry trees around, that would be fine. In the wintertime, however, where the trees are still somewhat moist and there are still plenty of trees with branches all around, so then it's going to be usher. So the Gemara says that the difference is the season, which in of itself is so interesting. The idea that there are seasonal isurim. The gzera derabbanan depends on the season. Okay, but anyway, that's what the Gemara is proposing. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. So, b'yamosa chama hanatri peirei. So isn't there fruit on the tree even in the summer months? And aren't we worried about you knocking down the fruit or plucking down the fruit? So but the leika peirei, the Gemara says, no. The case under discussion over here is a tree that does not have fruit. V'ha kanatre kinsei. What about the branches of the tree? So the Gemara says, begidura, or giduda. Now we're talking about the tree where basically it is just the trunk of the tree and there are no branches. So extraordinarily limiting the case in which you're allowed to climb a tree. It's got to be dead. There's got to be no fruit on it. There's got to be no branches on it. Then you can climb it. So and presumably what's the svara, or in other words why? So presumably at that point in time it does not have the status of being a tree. It's basically just a vertical ground, if you will. So the Gemara says ini v'harav ikla la'apastaya v'asa b'giduda. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I'm telling you that Rav went to this town, right? Some out of town place, and when going over the halachas of Shabbos, so he said that it's asur to climb even on a trunk. It's just a trunk, and he says it's asur. So the Gemara says, Rav bika masaba v'gadar b'geder. So the Gemara says, yeah, but in that particular case, meaning the ikar dinner would be fine. Just happens to be that this out of town place happened to have had general laxity to Shabbos, and so therefore for Rav he was a little more machmir for them because he needed to counterbalance their general laxity towards Shabbos. Amar Rami Bar Abba, Amar Rav Asi Asal Adam Shalach Agabi Asavim B'Shabbos. A person can't walk on grass on Shabbos. Okay, so we went from today from roots to trees, and now we're talking about grass. So the Gemara starts off with a prohibition that one is not allowed to walk on grass on Shabbos. Mishum Shenemar, the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Mishle, V'atz b'raglayim chote, that if you uproot with your legs, you're going to be a sinner. And obviously, this is not a source for the Isser. The Isser is going to be a concern that you're going to rip up the grass as you're walking on the grass. The pasuk over here that's being quoted from Mishle is just a remez. It's just an asmachta. In fact, in just a moment, we're going to read the pasuk differently. Anyway, Tanichad of the Gemara quotes a brisa. One brisa muta leilech agabe asavim b'Shabbos. One brisa says that you're allowed to walk on grass on Shabbos. V'tanyidach aser, and another brisa says that it's aser. So we have over here, obviously, a stiras abrisos and a yishuv. The Gemara is going to provide no less than I counted five different yishuvim between these brisas. Number one, hablachaim abiyaveshim. Depends on whether the grass is moist or whether it's dry. Now, similar to what we presented just moments earlier regarding the dry tree. Climbing the dry tree would be mutter. So the the dry grass also would be mutter. Once again, we could just simply call it ground. Ibai se mahava habalachim, or maybe both prices are talking about wet grass. Velokasha kambi amosachama kambi amosak shamim. It depends whether we're talking about the summertime or the wintertime, just like we discussed regarding the tree. Ibai sema, a third proposal, hava habi amosa chama, velokasha hadasai misane, hadalo misai misane, depends on whether or not you're wearing shoes or you're not wearing shoes. And the way Rashi understands it, if you're not wearing shoes, more concern. Why? Because obviously now there's room for the grass to get stuck between your toes and a better chance that you're going to rip up the grass. Ibai sema, hava desai misane, a fourth proposal of the Gemara is that you're wearing shoes. Velokasha hadi islay ukse, hadalay islay ukse. Depends on whether or not the shoes have spikes or they don't have spikes. That would be the difference. Ibaizema, haba adislay ukse, a fifth proposal of the Gemara, the shoes you're wearing have spikes on them. So hadislay shircha, hadislay shircha, depends on the length of the grass. If the grass is particularly long, so then the good chance is that you're going to rip it up. If the grass is not that particularly long, so then you're not going to tear it up. The Gemara now makes one final comment. And perhaps it's a comment that everyone here is thinking while we were engaging in this discussion. Are you really intent on ripping up the grass? Your intent is walking on the grass. You don't have intent on ripping up the grass. This is what's called the Davar Sheinu Miskaven. And don't we pass like Rabbi Shimon? And that's where we conclude on this whole topic. Vayina de kamalanka Rabbi Shimon kulo sharei. So the Gemara says we pass like Rabbi Shimon. Davar Sheinu Miskaven is mutter, and therefore it is going to be mutter, right? Assuming, of course, it's not a psik reisha, but it's a Davar Sheinu Miskaven, and therefore it's going to be mutter in all these cases. Good. Continuing the Gemara, Amar Ame Bar Chama. Amar Avasi Asula Adam Sheachofi Sholot Var Mitzvah. So as I mentioned, we quoted the pasuk in Mishlei. So the Gemara now is going to turn to other areas in halacha, the topics in halacha. The launching pad is going to be this pasuk in Mishlei. The Gemara quotes B'shem Rav Asi that husband is not allowed to compel his wife to have tashmish shamita. It has to be consensual. We're talking about husband and wife over here. It needs to be consensual. The pasuk says, "Atz beraglim chote raglim," is a euphemism. It's talking about tashmish shemitah, and the man who compels his wife is a chote, is a sinner. Am Rav Yeshua Malevi kol akofe yishtol dvar mitzvah having labanim she'ena meuganim, compelling one's wife and resulting in a pregnancy, the child is not going to be proper. Am Rav Ika bar chinana mikra, the pasuk that supports this idea, gam below da'as nefesh lo tov. If you do not have consent amongst the husband and wife, so it's going to result in lotov tanyana mihachi braisa. Also, gam below das nefesh lotov ze'akofi isho lidvar mitzvah. Ze'akofi isho lidvar mitzvah. Veratz baraglaim ko chote ze'abol v'shone. So the braisa over here quotes both psukim from Mishlei. The pasuk of below das nefesh lo tov. So that is a reference to a husband compelling his wife to have tashmish shemita, and the pasuk of atz beraglaim chote, that's bo v'shona, it's having be a second time. Now it's a little bit curious, because once we learn that the first time where the husband is compelling his wife, that's going to be asur already. So then what's the chiddush in the second time? And perhaps what you could suggest is that the first time was compelled, but the second time she was appeased, even that's going to be prohibited. Okay, a possible suggestion of understanding the Gemara. Inu, the Gemara says, V'ha'ama rava arosa la'asos kol banav zucharim yivol v'yishna. So the Gemara says, yeah, but isn't it a recipe to have a male child, and that is to have tashmish shemitah twice in a row? So the Gemara says, lokasha kan ladas, kan shalol ladas. But the explanation is actually extraordinarily simple. And that is, depends whether it's consensual or non-consensual. If it's consensual, so then the result is a male child and a proper child. On the other hand, if it's non-consensual, then we go back to the previous drashas from Mishlei. Am Rav Shmuel bar Nachmin, Am Rav Yochanan Kolisha, Shetovas Baala, Ledvar Mitzvah, Havin Lam Benisha, Afilu Bedor Shal Moshe, Lo Havia Kamoso. A woman who solicits her husband for Tashma Shemita, so the child is going to be so refined and so stellar, that it'll surpass even those that live in the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu. The ilu b'dor shel Moshe k'siv, the pasuk says, "Havu lachem anashim chachamim unevonim v'yiduim l'shifteichem." In terms of who they were looking for the Sanhedrin, so obviously people of a certain caliber, and the criteria is described in the pasuk k'siv, the kaches rashi shifteichem anashim chachamim v'yiduim, and they did get some people who were excellent candidates for the Sanhedrin, v'ilu nevonim la'ashkach. But if you compare what they were looking for versus what they got, so they were looking for people for Nivonim, and meanwhile what they got are people who are Yiduim, but not Nivonim. Okay, so they lacked all the credentials, all the criteria that they were looking for. V'ilu gabe Leah k'siv. Now Leah, so v'teitzei Leah l'krasova tomei elai tavo kisachor sechartich. So Leah says to Yaakov, okay, I hired you this evening. So she solicits Yaakov Avinu. U'ksiv u'mnei yisachar yodei bina li'itim. Ladas ma yaseh Yisrael v'ashem asayim v'chol acheihem alpiyim. And what came out from that was Yisachar, right? That night produced Yisachar, and we know regarding Yisachar, so he was a symbol of Bina. So over here, so for the wife to solicit her husband, so the Gemara says extraordinary. The Gemara says really extraordinary? I thought just the opposite. Ini v'amar Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi Eser Klalos Niskala Chava. Chava was given 10 curses. Dichsiv, the pasuk says, Elisha, Amar, Harbe, Arbe. So to the woman, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, this is all after the Chet HaRishon and the repercussions of Chet HaRishon, and we're focusing now on the Klalos of Chava. Now, the Gemara said that there's going to be 10 in total, so keep count, because as you're going to see, we're only really coming up with 7. That obviously is a problem, and the Gemara is going to address that in just a moment. So first of all, the discharges that she has, damnida, dam besulim, so that's klalos 1 and 2. Number 3, it's vonech zetzar gidol banim, so the pain of raising children. Number 4, vehronech zetzar ibor, just the pregnancy, the pain of the pregnancy. The eighth of tel dibanim kemashmal, the actual pregnancy itself, that's number 5. Husband goes away on a trip, and it creates anxiety for the wife. So number 7, so the dominion over here is that the husband can ask his wife directly, but the wife cannot ask the husband directly. She cannot be tovea bepeh, and that's mida tova benashim. So fine. So those are the klalos that were given to Chava. So we see clearly over here that the klalos slash proper etiquette of a woman is not to be toveya bepeh. And the Gemara says, doesn't that run exactly opposite of the behavior of Leah, which the Gemara just praised moments earlier? So the Gemara says, ki kamrin and demirat seirtsuya kamei. So the Gemara says, yeah, there's no stira. What the Gemara was proposing is that when the wife solicits the husband not bepeh, she does not say it. In other words, it is not proper etiquette. It's not midos, it's not derech eretz for a wife to articulate and to verbally say and verbally solicit, but she can behave in a manner where it's clear to the husband that she's interested in tashma shemitah. So hani sheva avyan. So the Gemara says, look, you said there were going to be 10 klalos, and you only listed 7. Obviously, something's wrong over here. So kiyasa Rav Dimi amar. So Rav Dimi now comes in from Eretz Yisrael, and he gives us the supplemental 3 that makes up for the total of 10. Atufa kavel, she's wrapped up, right? Her head is covered. And umenuda mikol adam, excommunicated. And chavusha beveis asurim, and she's imprisoned. Now, all this needs clarification. These are not to be taken super literally, and they're references to something. So what exactly are we making reference to? So my menuda mikol adam. So the Gemara doesn't need clarification of atufa kavel. She's wrapped up, meaning she covers her hair. Okay, so that's the... That's number 7. Menuda mikol adam, that needs clarification. What does that mean, excommunicated? So ilam ishim da asala yichud, she's prohibited in yichud with other men. So the Gemara says, okay, good. Iunami asala yichud, he's also prohibited to be miyachid with other women. So that's not it. Ela da asir le beitre. So what it is that a woman cannot marry more than one husband. A husband can marry more than one wife. B'masisa tana megadela seara kelilis v'yosheves. Now in the Braisa, adds more klalos, right? It's going to be controversial, but the Braisa over here adds more klalos. Now this Braisa over here is going to get us to number 13. Maybe this Braisa dismisses the Rav Dimi's supplemental list. Whatever the case is, the Gemara is not going to be happy with these additional 3. The Gemara is not going to call them klalos anyway. So according to the Braisa, what are the 3 additional klalos? She has to grow her hair long, like Lilith. She sits when she urinates, and like an animal, and nasa karla bala, and she also is like a pillow to her husband, and that's talking about the positioning during tashma shamita. So v'idach hani shevachula. Now Rav Dimi, who did not include these 3, so he would argue that's not klala, that's a shevach. Damer Abichya Maidichsi Malafnai Malfano Mebehemos Eretz Umaofa Shamay Michakmenu. So Mefamanai Behemazu Preda Shekores Umashenas Mayim. So as far as the Gemara just simply bypasses the growth of her hair or long hair. That's not a klal. It's a shevach. That's beauty to the woman. So the Gemara doesn't even dismiss it outright. In other words, don't call that a klala. As far as her sitting down while urinating, so the Gemara says, well, just like a mule sits and urinates, so that is considered something which is more more modest. So we're going to say the same thing regarding a woman. The fact that she has to sit and urinate, that's more modest. And as far as Ofa Shemayim, we're going to be wise if we study the behavior of the birds of the earth and copy that behavior. That's in terms of how they mate, where the male first appeases the female, and then as Tashmish, same thing over here. Same thing regarding husband and wife. So the fact that she is the fact of the positioning, that's not a kala, that's a shevach. Ilam alone in the Torah hayin lemedim tznios mechatu vegezel minamala ve'arayz miyona. So the Gemara is derech eretz mitarnegol. So and if the Torah had not been given, right, a discussion the Gemara makes a comment the Gemara makes a couple of times, really interesting comment regarding the idea that there are certain parts of the Torah which are so intuitive that even if the Torah had not been given and we just looked around and we saw nature, we would understand. Let me reread it. Let me do it a little bit better. If the Torah had not been given in, so we would have learned about modesty from a cat in terms of how the cat relieves itself. Ants make sure that they work. They bring in their own food so that they don't have to steal. Arayus miyona. Arayus, we're going to learn from a Yonah. They are monogamous and they don't take on more than one mate. And derech eretz mitarnegol. And in terms of actual tashmish shemitah, that we're going to learn from a tarnegol. Shemefayis v'achar kach boa, where first there is appeasement and then afterwards the bia. Umay mefayis la. Now the Gemara over here says a little more detail in terms of how exactly the pias works. I'm Rav Yehuda. I'm Rav Hachi Kamar la. The presumed conversation. Obviously, we are animating the birds over here, but based on the behavior, the Gemara is going to give some sort of narrative of what one is saying to the other. So, zvina lech ziga dematalech ad kare. So, when the bird spreads out its wings, it's as if the bird is saying to its mate, "So I'm going to cover you, or I'm going to provide for you clothing that's going to cover you all the way down to your legs." Labasar hachi amar la. And then afterwards, he'll say to her that I'll lose my head if I have the means to support you and I don't support you. Meaning, if I have the finances and I can buy you something and I don't buy you something, I'll lose my own head. Basically, promises her everything. So if he ends up not delivering, she'll understand that, you know, they're just words. But in other words, making those promises, making her feel safe and secure. So that is the kind of appeasement and assuaging that's done between the birds, and that's the kind of behavior that we're going to emulate. Ad kan, that takes us to the end of the daf. Tomorrow we start with the mission at the top of Kafal Fam and Aleph. A quick recap of today's daf. The pit that's right in front of the window and the ability to transfer from the window to the pit. So we discussed whether or not that pit is proximate to the window, not proximate to the window, and the various chidushim of the Mishnah. The garbage mound, which is 10 tefachim high in an area 4x4, so it's a rishus liyachid. Are we worried about depletion? So in one part of Erevin, the beginning of Erevin, we were worried. Here at the end of Erevin, we're not worried. And the Gemara creates yishuv in terms of whether it is a private garbage dump or a public garbage dump. And I presented the Gemara like Rashi. Okay, the trees. We talked for the most part of today about trees, roots, and grass. As far as the trees are concerned, any portion of the tree that's above 3 tefachim in the ground is subject to the gzeirah derabanan of being mishtamish be'ilan. I went out of order in the Mishnah. The first part of that Mishnah on the bottom of Tzadi Tetz Amud Beis talked about a tree that creates a full canopy with walls coming down. So you're allowed to carry within that tree. The Gemara limited. You can only carry in that tree, only up to 5,000 square amos, because those walls are not made for the interior, they're made for the exterior. Good. The roots of the tree. What if the roots go up and come back down proximate to the ground within 3 tefachim of the ground? Can I make usage of those extensions? Machlok is between Rabba and Rav Sheshes. Rabba is a Mekel. Rav Sheshes is a Machmir. And the Gemara went and gave a number of different scenarios where this Machlokas of Rabba and Rav Sheshes would play out. The Gemara talked about climbing a tree. climbing a tree on Shabbos is usher in of itself. Once you're up on the tree, can you climb back down again? One brisa says yes, another brisa says no. Three ways to try to be miyashev, the two brisas, where we can create agreement between the two brisas. And then the Gemara's proposal that this machlok is whether or not you can come down from the tree after you climbed up on the tree may go in line with the machlok's Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer when I have a tarovis of matan dalid with matan echad. A difficult attempt of the Gemara to create a parallel between the two machloksim, and the Gemara noted how difficult it was. We're now looking at the Amud Beis. The Gemara discussed under limited circumstances one can climb a dead tree, then walking on grass. Gemara had a discussion on walking on the grass. The Gemara started off from a standpoint of being machmir, not allowed to walk on grass, even though a steer between two brises, one brises says you can, another brises says you cannot. Good, and the Gemara was miyashiv. The Gemara said, ended up concluding, walking on grass is never a problem because it's a davar sheino miskaven, and we pasuk like Rabbi Shimon. We quoted a pasuk in Mishle of atz biraglaim chotei, uprooting with your legs, you're considered a sinner. The Gemara applied that originally to the walking on grass, but then the Gemara understood the pasuk in a different context, notably Tashmish Shemita, Derech Eretz, between husband and wife. And the Gemara noted a number of halachas. First, the basic idea that a husband and wife, when they're married, it has to be consensual. If it's not consensual, it's an isser, even for husband and wife. And then the discussion of Hilchos Derech Eretz in terms of a wife propositioning her husband. And it's good, it's not good. And the Gemara says to articulate, not good, but to communicate, so that is good. Praiseworthy, says the Gemara. And finally, Chava, the 10 curses of Chava, the Brisa listed 7, the supplemental 3, a proposed additional 3, a rejection of those additional 3, and then finally, behavior that we can learn from the animal kingdom.